This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So inshallah, I pray you all are doing well. Last week I promised that inshallah this week we would talk about the seven things that we can do during Hajj instead of wasting our time. Inshallah, so I'm going to get right into it. And I just wanted to remind you all and myself that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are no deeds that are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are done during a specific time more than during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, which are the days of Hajj. And so we don't want to waste time. An example that I really liked was kind of like the example that I gave of Laylatul Qadr. Imagine if a bank called you and said, for 10 days, we're going to give you complete access to our vault and you can come in and take as much as you want. And you have these 10 days. After these 10 days, that's it. It's done. What would you do? Would you waste time on your phone? Would you waste time going through emails or Facebook? No, right? You would spend all of your time trying to gather as much money as you can from the vault to take it out so that you can have it. And these 10 days are no different. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this amazing opportunity that they're the best days of the year. And deeds are done during those 10 days, you get extra rewards, inshallah. And imagine, when you're in Hajj, you're in the best place on earth. And so we don't want to waste time. Especially in Mina, Muzdalifah, and Arafah. So in Mina, you'll spend either 2 or 3 days there. Muzdalifah, you'll spend a night. And Arafah, you'll probably leave your camp. You'll leave Muzdalifah probably after Fajr and get there by Dhuhr, inshallah. And so you don't want to waste those days. And a lot of days that we also waste, and not all the groups go to this, but my group did go to Aziziyah, which is also the days of Dhul Hijjah, the days of Hajj, when you'll be in Aziziyah in a hotel or in an apartment. And those are times when, if I can go back in time, I would change it, right? Because I felt like I did waste a lot of time. And they go by so quickly that you don't realize them. And so instead of wasting time, I'm going to share with you seven things that you can do. And the first thing that you can do, inshallah, start from today. Number one, have pure and sincere intentions to do a lot during those days. And make a plan. Have goals. And inshallah, before tonight, by tonight, inshallah, I'll have a goals checklist with the 10 days so that you can check things off when you do them, because you get motivated to do it and then you don't forget to do it. And why am I saying to make a sincere intention? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so this is a hadith Qudsi, and this hadith Qudsi is located in both Bukhari and Muslim. So it's muttafaqun alayhi, which means it's the highest form of authenticity, inshallah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that verily He has made the good deeds and the bad deeds clear. And then He says, whoever intends, has an intention to perform a good deed, but does not do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record it for him as a complete good deed. Allahu Akbar. Imagine if you just intend, if you have your little worksheet and you intend that inshallah every day you're going to do all of these things, but you don't do it. You forget, or you get distracted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that He'll write it for you as a complete good deed. SubhanAllah. And then listen to the rest of the hadith. He says, and if he intends to do a good deed and he does it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record it for that person from 10, at least 10 good deeds, up until 700 times or more. So if you intend to do it, which inshallah we're all intending to do good deeds during the 10 days of the Hijjah, and while we're at Hajj, So if you have that intention and you actually do it, you'll get at least 10 good deeds for each action, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it in ways that we can't imagine, subhanAllah. And so inshallah, let's have some pure, sincere intentions and let's intend to do a lot of good deeds, inshallah ta'ala. And so like I said, inshallah, I'll have a checklist up for you all on my website by tonight that you can inshallah download and print it. And an easy way to get a lot of good deeds is to print multiple copies and to share it with family and friends, or to even print them and take them with you and tell everyone in your group what you've learned today. And inshallah, you'll get that reward too, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Addalu ala al-khayr kafa'ilihi," the one who tells people to do good, who shows people how to do good, gets the reward that they do without removing the reward from that person. So inshallah, you'll get all that reward. Imagine, inshallah. Okay, number two, start your day off right, obviously with Fajr, but after Fajr, Quran, right? وَقُرْآن الْفَجْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about the Quran at Fajr time, about reciting Quran at Fajr time. And so we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever recites a letter from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be credited a good deed, and that good deed will be multiplied tenfold. And then he said, I'm not saying that alif, lam, mim is one letter, but alif is a letter, and lam is a letter, and mim is a letter. And I know that after Ramadan, our Quran recitation has dipped, but subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this other opportunity so that we can, you know, really work on reciting Quran. And so I think that it's reasonable to try and make a khatmah in these 10 days, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Especially since, like I said, you're going to be in Mina, you're going to be in Muzdalifah, and you're going to be in Arafah. In Mina, really, you're in a tent and there's nowhere to go. The only thing that you're going to have to do is go through the Jamarat. And that doesn't take all day. That takes a few hours. And then you'll be sitting there. And if you don't have goals and you don't have things that you want to achieve and do, you know what's going to happen? Shaitan's going to come. And then you're going to start talking to this person and this person. And you're going to bring up stories of the past and talk about your family. And then before you know it, those days are going to be gone. And so I think it's really reasonable to try to recite a khatma to finish the Quran in the 10 days. If you do one juzah after Fajr, and one juzah after Dhuhr, and one juzah in the evening, that's three ajzah a day. And in 10 days, you'll complete the entire Quran. Imagine meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a khatma during your Hajj. That would be beautiful, right? Number three. Recite your adhkar of the morning and the evening. I cannot emphasize this point enough. The adhkar, the remembrances of the morning and the evening. Not only is the reward so great, not only will you get your sins forgiven, right? If you recite the adhkar and you read the hadith that are associated with them, you'll see that if you say this, which is an adhkar of the morning or the evening, a remembrance of the morning and the evening, Allah will forgive all your sins. Allah will forgive your sins even if they're like the foam of the sea. Allah will give you this reward. There's also adhkars that if you say them, the Prophet ﷺ says that if you die on that day, you will be entered into paradise. Imagine. Not only do you get so many good deeds for remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you also get protection. There are multiple adhkar of the morning and the evening that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you say these, nothing will harm you. We all are worried about getting sick during Hajj, about losing things during Hajj, about getting stomped on, about getting hurt. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, and remember, what did we say about when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us something? Allah says about him, لَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not speak from his whims and desires. Everything that he says is revelation revealed. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever says, Bismillah الَّذِي لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ اسْمِهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, three times in the morning and three times in the evening, nothing will harm them. We We have to truly believe that nothing will harm us. So a part of the adhkar are many adhkars that are for protection. And so please, please, please recite your adhkar every morning after Fajr, before sunrise, and every evening from Asr to Maghrib is the time frame. Number four, pray Salatul Duha. Salatul Duha is a beautiful sunnah that unfortunately has been forgotten. And there's a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who when he says, when any of you wake up in the morning, charity is due from each and every one of you for every joint in your body. And then he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a charity when you make dhikr, when you say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu akbar. And there's a charity in enjoining good and forbidding evil. And then he said to pray two rak'at, two units of prayer of duha, four noon prayer, is equal to all of that that he described and more in reward. And so duha prayer is a salah that you can pray about 15, 20 minutes after sunrise. That's the starting point of the prayer. And you have all the way up until 15, 20 minutes before the zenith of the sun. And so that gives you a couple of hours to pray these rak'at. And you know what's amazing? The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O son of Adam, perform four rak'at for me, duha, in the beginning of the day, and it will suffice you for the rest of it. So don't just pray two. Pray two and then pray another two, to make them four so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can suffice you for the rest of the day, insha'Allah ta'ala. I just want to make sure, is the live stream working? Because I know I had problems and I had to restart it twice. Can someone just please comment and let me know if it's working, insha'Allah? Jazakallah khairan. Okay, number five, make lots and lots and lots of dhikr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are no other days that are as great as these 10 days in the sight of Allah. And there are no other deeds more beloved to Allah on these 10 days than subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So make lots and lots of dhikr. And you know what's the beautiful thing about dhikr? Is that you can do it almost any time, anywhere, and you don't need wudu, you don't need to be facing qibla, you don't need to be, for example, wearing hijab, there's no constraints. So make sure that you're constantly making dhikr, that while you're walking to throw the jamarat, you're making dhikr and tasbih. When you're walking back, you're making tasbih. When you're sitting down, you're making tasbih. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, وَالَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they're standing, when they're sitting, and when they're lying on their sides. So make sure you increase the amount of dhikr that you're doing. So constantly make dhikr. Number six. Give sadaqah, charity, every day when you're there. And we all know the virtues of giving sadaqah. So let's give a sadaqah every single day. And the Prophet ﷺ said, charity is prescribed for each of the descendants of Adam every day that the sun rises. And then he was asked, from what should we give charity every day, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ? And then he said, the doors of goodness are many, enjoining good, forbidding evil, removing harm from the road, helping someone who's deaf or blind, guiding someone to something that they need, helping someone in their need, using your strength to help someone, removing someone's sorrow from them, right? Supporting the feeble with your strength. All of these are charity that are prescribed to you. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And we can be creative with our charity. In another hadith, he said, charity is due upon every joint of the people every day upon which the sun rises. And then he said, being just between two people is charity. Helping someone with their animal is charity. Lifting up their luggage is charity. A kind word is charity. Every step that you take towards the masjid is charity. Moving harmful things from the road is charity. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us to be creative in the way that we give charity, inshallah. And so there's so many people that you can help at Hajj. There's so many elder people that you can carry their things for. There's so many people who are thirsty, give them water. Subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ once was asked by a Sahabi, he said, O Messenger of Allah, my mother died. Should I give charity on her behalf? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. And then he said, what charity is best? And the Prophet ﷺ said, a drink of water, to give people water. And subhanallah, you know how many people are thirsty because it's so hot? When you're going to grab yourself a drink of water, get a few extra cups and hold them and pass them out. You know, subhanallah, you're going to see so many people in need during Hajj. People who they spend their whole lives saving just enough money to get to Mecca and who have nothing afterwards. They don't have a hotel. They don't have a group with them. They don't have money for food. Nothing. And so when you're walking around, take water to them. Take food. One of the beautiful ideas that we had during our Hajj was that during Mina and Muzdalifah and Arafah, we had boxed meals. And so some of the sisters and I, we thought, you know, mashallah, this is a lot of food. And we were trying not to eat too much because of the bathroom situation at Mina. And so we had this idea, why don't we share one box and take the extra boxes and give them away? And so you can do that too, inshallah. And it was so beautiful, right? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you're not a believer if you go to sleep full and your neighbor is hungry. And when you're in Hajj, all of these people sleeping on the streets are your neighbors. They're going to be right next to your tents. So something that you could do is talk to some people in your group and see if anyone wants to do that with you, where you share a box of food with you, two, three, four other sisters, and take those extra boxes and give them away, inshallah. And remember, smiling is charity. Make sure that you're smiling in the face of your sisters when you're in your tents, and for the brothers, smile in the face of your brothers. You know, I know there are a lot of things that are going to annoy us at Hajj. There's a lot of things that's going to make us want to get angry. But imagine, if someone's about to get angry because of something and you smile in their face, because in your heart, you're doing it as a charity. And imagine that smile reminds that person that they should be smiling too. Because usually when someone smiles at you, what do? You smile back. And the research suggests that even if you fake a smile back at someone, you become happier. So maybe they might not be as annoyed anymore. And maybe they won't be angry. And maybe that smile will stop them from doing something that might ruin their Hajj. And so smile, it's charity. And help people in need, right? The Prophet ﷺ said in one of my most favorite hadith, he said, the most beloved of people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings the most benefit to other people. And the most beloved of deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you bring happiness to a fellow Muslim. Something that you can do to bring happiness to other Muslims, especially during Hajj, is buying sweets or dates or something and giving them out, right? One of the things that we did was that we bought these organic vegetarian, just make sure they're vegetarian so they don't have gelatin in them, energy chews. And when we were walking, for example, from Mina to the Jumarat, it's a very long walk. And when people were getting tired, we were giving these energy chews that people who run marathons take when they feel tired. And we were giving them out to people, right? So helping people in need, making them happy. And then the Prophet ﷺ continued and said, or to relieve them of their distress, or to pay off their debt, or to save them from their hunger. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, it's more beloved to me that I walk with my Muslim brother in their time of need than I stay secluded in i'tikaf in my masjid for a month. And then, usually we stop there. So imagine helping someone in their need is better than staying in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid for a month just worshiping Allah. So make sure you find someone to help, inshallah. And there are many. And then he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever holds back his anger at a time when they're angry, Allah will cover his faults. And whoever suppresses his fury while being able to execute it, whoever holds back revenge while they're able to do so. I'll give you many examples in Hajj. Someone who pushes you, you can push them back. But at that moment, if you hold back and don't do it for Allah, look at what the reward is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill their heart with satisfaction on the day of resurrection. Allahu Akbar. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whoever walks with his brother in a need until he establishes that need for him, Allah will establish his feet firmly on the day when all feet shall slip. And then he said, indeed, bad character ruins deeds just as vinegar ruins honey. So make sure you have good character with the other guests of Allah. Remember, yes, you're a guest of Allah, but guess what? Everyone else is also a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, one of the things that really helped during our Hajj was just reminding ourselves that people who are at Hajj are from all different parts of the world. You know, there are people who are at Hajj that in their countries, they don't have bathrooms. They don't have etiquettes. Their civilization, where they live, they don't have the things that we have. And so they don't have the etiquettes that we have. So don't be upset at them. Don't be upset at them, because that's all they know. And so you're going to see a lot of, subhanAllah, a lot of things. And just remember this hadith, that if you just hold back and if you have good character, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. And last but not least, number 7, is lots and lots of dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, dua is the essence of worship. And remember that you're the guest of Allah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be generous with you. And remember that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily Allah is shy and generous. He's shy that if a servant asks him to leave him empty-handed, and he's generous that he gives you more than you ask for. And you know, subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no day on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more of his slaves from the hellfire than the day of Arafah. He subhanahu wa ta'ala actually draws close, and then he boasts about those on Arafah to the angels, saying, what do these people want? Imagine, when you're on Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be boasting about you to the angels, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be calling, what do you want? So that he can give you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, the best dua is the dua of Arafah. The best dua is the dua of Arafah. And then he said, and the best thing that I've said, or any of the prophets before me have said, is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. So make sure that on the day of Arafah, you're making lots and lots of dua, and you're repeating this dhikr that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is the best possible thing that you can say on the day of Arafah. And jazakumullah khairan for tuning in. I pray and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you all a hajj mabrur. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your good deeds and forgive all of your shortcomings and give you the patience and the ability to persevere and to really, you know, shine and stand out during Hajj. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from you and to bring you home to your families with a clean slate and safe and sound, inshaAllah ta'ala. And for those who are not going for Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you all to Hajj in the near future. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your intentions and for your longing to want to visit His house. And jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.